This is Audible.
Becoming Supernatural: How Common People Are Doing the Uncommon. By New York Times best-selling author Dr. Joe Dispenza. Read by Adam Boyce.
Before you begin, the diagrams referred to in this book have been made available for you to download at www.drjoedispenza.com/BSN.
Introduction: Getting ready to become supernatural. I realize that writing this book is a risk for me and my reputation. There are certain people in the world, including some in the scientific community, who might call my work pseudoscience, especially after Becoming Supernatural makes its debut. I used to be overly concerned about those critics' opinions. In the early days of my career, I always wrote with skeptics in mind, trying to make sure that they would approve of my work. On some level, I thought it was important to be accepted by that community. But one day, when I was standing in front of an audience in London, and a woman holding the microphone was telling her story about how she overcame her disease, how she healed herself through the practices I've written about in other books, I had an epiphany. It became very clear that those skeptics and rigid scientists who hold their own beliefs about what is possible aren't going to like me or my work no matter what I do. Once I had that realization, I knew that I'd been wasting a lot of my vital energy. I was no longer interested in convincing that particular culture, especially those studying the normal and natural, about human potential. I was totally passionate about anything but normal, and I wanted to study the supernatural. I got very clear that I should give up my futile efforts to convince that community of anything, and instead direct my energy to a whole other part of the population that does believe in possibility and does want to listen to what I have to share. What a relief it was to fully embrace that idea and to let go of any attempt to make a difference in that other world. As I listened to the sweet lady in London, who wasn't a monk or a nun or an academic or a scholar, I knew that in telling her story to the audience, she was helping others see some part of themselves in her. Those hearing her journey might then believe it would be possible for them to accomplish the same. I'm at that point in my life where I am okay with people saying anything about me, and I certainly do have my flaws, but I now know more than ever that I am making a difference in people's lives. I say that with utter humility. I have labored for years in taking complex scientific information and making it simple enough for people to apply it to their lives. In fact, in the last 4 years, my team of researchers, my staff, and I have gone through extensive strides to scientifically measure, record, and analyze these transformations in people's biology to prove to the world that common people can do the uncommon. This book is about more than just healing, although it includes stories of people who have made significant changes in their health and have actually reversed diseases, along with the tools you'll need to do the same. These accomplishments are becoming quite common in our community of students. The material you are about to read lives outside of convention and is not usually seen or understood by most of the world. The content of this book is based on an evolution of teachings and practices that have culminated in our students' ability to delve deeper into the more mystical of these. And of course, I'm hoping it will bridge the world of science with the world of mysticism. I wrote this book to take what I've always thought was possible to the next level of understanding. I wanted to demonstrate to the world that we can create better lives for ourselves, and that we are not linear beings living linear lives, but dimensional beings living dimensional lives. Hopefully, reading it will help you understand that you already have all the anatomy, chemistry, and physiology you need to become supernatural, sitting latent within you, waiting to be awakened and activated. In the past, I hesitated to talk about this realm of reality because I feared it might divide an audience based on their own personal beliefs. However, I have wanted to write this book for a long time now. Over the years, I have had profoundly rich mystical experiences that have changed me forever. Those inner events have influenced who I am today. I want to introduce you to that world of dimension and show you some of the measurements we took and the studies we did in our advanced workshops around the world. I started collecting data on our students in these workshops because we witnessed significant changes in their health, and I knew they were changing their biology during the meditations, in real time. We have thousands and thousands of brain scans that prove those changes were not just imagined in the minds, but actually took place in their brains. Several of the students we measured accomplished those changes within 4 days, the length of our advanced workshops. The scientific teams I've assembled have taken brain scan recordings using quantitative electroencephalogram EEG measurements before and after workshops, as well as real-time measurements during the meditations and practices themselves. I was not only impressed with the changes, but shocked by them. They were that dramatic. The brains of our students function in a more synchronized and coherent fashion after participating in the advanced retreats around the world. This increased order in their nervous systems helps them get very clear about a future they can create and they are able to hold that intention independent of the conditions in their external environment. And when their brains are working right, they are working right. I will present scientific data that shows how much their brains improved in just a few days, which means you can do the same for your brain. At the end of 2013, something mysterious started occurring. We started seeing brain scan recordings that puzzled the researchers and neuroscientists who came to our events to study my work. The high amount of energy in the brain that we were recording while a student was in certain meditations had never been recorded up until this point. And yet, we were seeing these off-the-charts readings again and again. When we interviewed the participants, they reported that their subjective experience during the meditation was very real and mystical, and that this either profoundly changed their view of the world or dramatically improved their health. I knew in those moments that these participants were having transcendental experiences in their inner world of meditation that were more real than anything they had ever experienced in their outer world. And we were capturing those subjective experiences objectively. That has become a new normal for us now, and as a matter of fact, we can often predict when these high amplitudes of energy in the brain will occur based on certain indicators and signs that we have seen for years now. In these pages, I want to demystify what it is to have an interdimensional experience, as well as provide the science, biology, and chemistry of the organs, systems, and neurotransmitters that make this happen. It is my hope that this information will give you a roadmap for how to create such experiences for yourself. We have also recorded amazing changes in heart rate variability, HRV. That's when we know a student is opening their heart and maintaining elevated emotions like gratitude, inspiration, joy, kindness, appreciation, and compassion, which cause the heart to beat in a coherent fashion. That is, with rhythm, order, and balance. We know that it takes a clear intention, a coherent brain, and an elevated emotion, a coherent heart, to begin to change a person's biology from living in the past to living in the future. That combination of mind and body, of thoughts and feelings, also seems to influence matter. And that's how you create reality. So if you're going to truly believe in a future that you are imagining with all of your heart, let's make sure it's open and fully activated. Why not, through practice and quantitative feedback, get good at doing it and make it a skill? So we partnered with the HeartMath Institute, HMI, a sharp group of researchers based in Boulder Creek, California, who helped us measure the responses of thousands of our participants. It is our desire for our students to develop the ability to regulate an internal state independent of the conditions in their external environment and to know when they are creating heart coherence and when they are not. In other words, when we measure those internal changes, we can tell a person that they created a more balanced pattern in the heart measurement and that they are doing a great job and should keep doing exactly what they are doing. Or we can let them know that they are not making any biological changes and then give them the proper instruction and provide several opportunities to practice getting better at the process. That's what feedback does. It helps us know when we are doing something correctly and when we aren't. When we can change some feeling or thought inside of us, we can see changes outside of us. And when we observe that we did it correctly, we will pay attention to what we did and do it again. That action creates a constructive habit. By demonstrating how others perform such feats, I want to show you how powerful you can be. Our students know how to influence the autonomic nervous system, ANS, the system that maintains health and balance by automatically taking care of all of our bodily functions while we have the free will to live our lives. It is this subconscious system that gives us our health and gives life to our bodies. Once we know how to gain access to this system, we can not only make our health better, but we can also transform unwanted, self-limiting behaviors, beliefs, and habits into more productive ones. I'll present some of the data we have been collecting for years. We've also taught our students that when they can create heart coherence, their hearts create a measurable magnetic field that projects beyond their body. That magnetic field is an energy, and that energy is a frequency, and all frequency carries information. The information carried on that frequency can be an intention or thought that can influence the heart of another person at a different location by moving it into coherence and balance. I will show you evidence that a group of people sitting in a room together can influence others sitting at some distance in the same room to go into heart coherence at the exact same time. The evidence clearly shows that we are bound by an invisible field of light and information that influences us and others. Given that, imagine what can happen when we all do this at the same time to change the world. That's exactly what we're up to as a community of individuals who are passionate about making a difference in the future of this earth and the people and other life forms that inhabit it. We have created Project Coherence, in which thousands of people come together at the exact same time on the exact same day to increase the frequency of this planet and of everyone who lives here. Sound impossible? Not at all. More than 23 peer-reviewed articles and more than 50 peace-gathering projects show that such events can lower incidents of violence, war, crime, and traffic accidents, and at the same time increase economic growth. My wish is to show you the science of how you can contribute to changing the world. We have also measured the energy in the room during our workshops and watched how it changes when you have a community of 550 to 1,500 people raising their energy together and creating heart and brain coherence. We have seen significant changes time and time again. Although the instrument we use to measure this is not approved by the scientific community in the United States, it has been acknowledged in other countries, including Russia. In every event, we're wonderfully surprised by the amount of energy certain groups have been able to demonstrate. We have also assessed the invisible field of vital energy surrounding the body of thousands of students to determine whether they can increase their own light field. After all, everything in our material universe is always emitting light and information, including you. When you are living in survival mode under the burden of the hormones of stress, such as adrenaline, you draw from this invisible field of energy and turn it into chemistry. And as you do so, the field around your body shrinks. We discovered a very advanced piece of equipment that can measure the emission of photons, particles of light, to determine whether a person is building a field of light around them or diminishing their own light field. When more light is emitted, there's more energy and hence more life. When a person has less light and information surrounding their body, they are more matter and thus emit less vital energy. Extensive research proves that the body's cells and various systems communicate not only by the chemical interactions we are familiar with, but also by a field of coherent energy, light, that carries a message, information, that causes the environment within and all around the cell to give instructions to other cells and biological systems. We've measured the amount of vital energy that our students' bodies emit because of the inward changes they've made during our meditations, and I want to show you what changes they can create in only 4 days or less. Other centers in your body besides the heart are also under the control of the autonomic nervous system. I call them energy centers. Each has its own frequency, its own intent or consciousness, its own glands, its own hormones, its own chemistry, its own individual little brain, and so its own unique mind. You can influence these centers to function in a more balanced and integrated fashion. But to do that, you must first learn how to change your brainwaves so you can enter this subconscious operating system. In fact, moving from beta brainwaves, where the thinking brain is constantly analyzing and putting much attention on the outer world, to alpha brainwaves, which indicates you're calmly placing more attention on the inner world, is key. By consciously slowing your brainwaves down, you can more readily program the autonomic nervous system. Students who have done my various meditation practices over the years have learned how to change their brainwaves as well as sharpen the type of focus it takes to be present long enough to produce measurable effects. We've discovered an instrument that can measure those changes, and again, I'll show you some of the research. We've also measured several different biological markers related to changing gene expression, a process known as making epigenetic changes. In this book, you will learn that you are not in fact beholden to your genes, and that gene expression is changeable once you begin to think, act, and feel differently. During our events, students leave their familiar lives for 4 to 5 days to instead spend time in an environment that doesn't remind them of who they think they are. In doing so, they separate themselves from the people they know, the things they own, the automatic behaviors they demonstrate in their daily lives, and the places they routinely go, and they begin to change their inner states through 4 different types of meditations: walking, sitting, standing, and lying down. And through each one of these, they learn to become someone else. We know it's true because our studies show significant changes in our students' gene expression, and they've then reported significant changes in their health. Once we can show someone measurable results proving they truly have altered neurotransmitters, hormones, genes, proteins, and enzymes through thought alone, they can better justify their efforts and prove to themselves that they really are transforming. As I share these ideas with you in this book, walking you through the process and explaining the science behind the work that we're doing and why, you'll be learning a lot of fairly detailed information. But don't worry, I will review certain key concepts in different chapters. I do this intentionally to remind you of what you have already learned, so we can build a bigger model of understanding in that moment. At times, the material I present may be challenging. Because I've taught this material to audiences for years, I know it can be a lot. I'll be reviewing and reminding you of what you've learned, so you do not have to go back in the book to search for the information, although you can always review the earlier chapters if you feel you need to. Of course, all of this information will prime you for your own personal transformation. So the better you can wrap your mind around these concepts, the more easily you can surrender to the meditations at the end of most of the chapters, using them as tools to have your own personal experience. In Chapter 1, I tell three stories that will give you a basic understanding of what it means to become supernatural. In the first story, you'll meet a woman named Anna, who developed several serious health conditions because of a trauma that kept her anchored to the past. The emotions of stress triggered her genes, and the corresponding hormones created some very challenging health conditions for her. It is a very tough tale. I intentionally chose this story and included it in all its details because I wanted to demonstrate to you that no matter how bad things can get, you have the power to change them, just as this amazing woman did. She applied many of the meditations in this book to modify her personality and heal herself. To me, she is a living example of truth. But she's not the only one who has kept overcoming herself on a daily basis until she became someone else. She joins a whole student body of participants who have done the same, and if they can do it, so can you. I also share two of my own personal stories here, experiences that have changed me at a very deep level. This book is as much about the mystical as it is about healing and creating new opportunities in our lives. I share these stories because I want to prime you for what is possible when we leave this realm of space-time, the Newtonian world we learned about in high school science class, and activate our pineal gland so we can move into the realm of time-space, the quantum world. Many of our students have had similar mystical and interdimensional experiences, which seemed as real as this material reality. Because the second half of the book delves into the physics, neuroscience, neuroendocrinology, and even genetics of how this happens, I hope these stories will pique your curiosity, acting as teasers to open your mind to what's possible. There's a future you, a you who already exists in the eternal present moment, who is actually calling himself or herself to the more familiar you who is reading this book. And that future you is more loving, more evolved, more conscious, more present, more kind, more exuberant, more mindful, more willful, more connected, more supernatural, and more whole. That is who is waiting for you to change your energy to match his or her energy on a daily basis so you can find that future you, who actually exists in the eternal now. Chapter 2 covers one of my favorite topics. I wrote it so you could fully comprehend what it means to be in the present moment. Since all potentials in the fifth dimension, known as the quantum, or the unified field, exist in the eternal present moment, the only way you can create a new life, heal your body, or change your predictable future is to get beyond yourself. This elegant moment, which we have witnessed in thousands of brain scans, arrives when a person finally surrenders the memory of themselves for something greater. So many people spend the majority of their lives unconsciously choosing to live by the same routines on a regular basis, or they automatically romance their past, feeling the same way every day. As a result, they program their brain and body to be in a predictable future or a familiar past, never living in the present moment. It takes practice to get there, but it's always worth the effort. Finally, finding the sweet spot of the generous present moment is going to require you to exercise a will that is greater than any of your automatic programs, but I'll encourage you every step of the way. The chapter starts off with a basic review of some scientific principles so that we can establish a common terminology to develop models of understanding throughout the book. I'm going to make it pretty simple. Talking about brain function, that is the mind, nerve cells and networks, different parts of the nervous system, chemicals, emotions and stress, brain waves, attention and energy, and a few other subjects is necessary to get you to where you want to go. I have to establish the language to explain why we are doing what we are doing before I teach you how to do it in the meditations that appear throughout the book. If you want more explicit, in-depth information, I invite you to read any of my previous books, including Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself and You Are the Placebo. Chapter 3 is your introduction to the quantum world, the fifth dimension. I want you to understand that there is an invisible field of energy and information that exists beyond this three-dimensional realm of space and time, and that we have access to it. In fact, once you are in the present moment and you've entered this realm, which exists beyond your senses, you are now ready to create your intended reality. When you can take all your attention off your body, the people in your life, the objects you own, the places you go, and even time itself, you will literally forget about your identity that has been formed by living as a body in this space and time. It is in this moment that you, as pure consciousness, enter the realm called the quantum field, which exists beyond this space and time. You can't enter this immaterial place with your problems, your name, your schedules and routines, your pain or your emotions. You can't enter as some body. You must enter as nobody. In fact, once you know how to move your awareness from the known, the material physical world, to the unknown, the immaterial world of possibility, and you become comfortable there, you can change your energy to match the frequency of any potential in the quantum field that already exists there. Spoiler alert! Actually, all potential futures exist there, so you can create whatever you want. When a vibrational match occurs between your energy and the energy of that potential you select in the unified field, you will draw that experience to you. I'll show you how it all works. Chapter 3 ends with a brief description of a meditation I have developed to help give you an actual experience of the quantum. Each of the teaching chapters from this point on will also end with a brief description of a different meditation. If you want to follow along as I guide you, you can purchase a CD or download an audio recording from any of these meditations from my website, drjoedispenza.com. Of course, you can also opt to try any of the meditations in this book on your own without listening to a recording. For this purpose, I have made free detailed descriptions available, giving the steps of each of these meditations on my website at drjoedispenza.com/BSN meditations. If you are meditating on your own, I recommend you listen to music while you do so. The best type of music is without vocals, and I prefer slow and trancing. It's best to use music that stops you from thinking and that doesn't evoke past memories. You'll find a suggested music list on my website mentioned earlier. In Chapter 4, I introduce you to one of the most popular meditations in our community. It's called the Blessing of the Energy Centers. Each center is under the control of the autonomic nervous system. I will give you the science of how you can program these centers for health and the greatest good during a meditation. If you have been doing my introductory level meditations where you have been placing your attention on different parts of your body and the space around your body, I want you to know that all of your training was for this meditation. Practicing that has helped you sharpen your skill to focus your attention and change your brainwaves so you can enter the operating system of the autonomic nervous system. Once you are there, you can program the operating system with the right orders to heal you, balance your health, and improve your energy and your life. In Chapter 5, I introduce you to a breath that we use at the start of many of our meditations. This breath enables you to change your energy, run an electrical current through your body, and create a more powerful electromagnetic field around you. As I will explain, most people's energy is stored in the body because they have conditioned their body to become the mind from years of thinking, acting, and feeling the same way. It is this process, relating to living in survival mode, that causes most of the creative energy to be rooted in the body. Therefore, we must have a way to pull that energy out of the body and deliver it back to the brain, where it'll be available for a higher purpose than mere survival. I'll give you the physiology of the breath so you can put more intention behind it when you begin to free yourself from the past. Once you start to liberate all that energy back into the brain, then you will learn how to recondition your body to a new mind. I'm going to show you how to teach your body emotionally how to live in the future present reality instead of the past present reality where we spend most of our time. Science tells us that the environment signals the gene. Since emotions are the chemical end products of experiences in our environment, when you embrace the elevated emotions in your meditations, you will not only raise your body's energy, but you will also start to signal new genes in new ways, ahead of the environment. There's nothing like a good story or two. In Chapter 6, I give you a few examples of students who applied themselves to the meditations in the previous chapters. These case histories should serve as teaching tools to help you fully understand the material I have presented so far. Most of the people you will read about are no different from you. They're common people who have done the uncommon. Another reason I share these stories is so you can personally relate to these people. Once you have the thought, if they can do it, so can I, you will naturally believe in yourself more. I always tell our community, when you choose to prove to yourself how powerful you really are, you have no idea who you will be helping in the future. These people are proof that it's possible for you. In Chapter 7, I introduce what it means to create heart coherence. Like brain coherence, the heart functions in the same organized way when we are truly present, when we can sustain elevated emotional states, and when we feel safe enough to fully open up to possibility. The brain thinks, but the heart knows. This is the center of oneness, wholeness, and unity consciousness. It is where opposites meet, representing the union of polarities. Think of this center as your connection to the unified field. When it is activated, you go from selfish states to selfless states. When you can maintain internal states independent of conditions in your external environment, you are mastering your environment. It takes practice to get good at keeping your heart open, and if you do, it will keep beating longer. Chapter 8 shares one of the other favorite activities we do at our advanced workshops, combining a kaleidoscope with videos called mind movies that our students make of their future. We use the kaleidoscope to induce a trance because, when you're in trance, you are more suggestible to information. Suggestibility is your ability to accept, believe, and surrender to information without any analysis. If you do this properly, it is indeed possible to program your subconscious mind. So it makes sense that when you use the kaleidoscope to change your brainwaves, with your eyes open instead of closed in a meditation, you can lower the volume of the analytical mind to open the door between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And when you follow that with a mind movie, with scenes of yourself or pictures of what the future you want looks like, you program yourself into that new future. So many of our students have created amazing new lives and opportunities when they took the time to make their mind movie and then watch it with the kaleidoscope. Some students are already on their third mind movie because everything in their first two has already happened. In Chapter 9, I introduce the walking meditation. This meditation incorporates both standing and walking. I find this practice such a valuable tool in helping us literally walk into our future. Many times we can have an amazing seated meditation and connect to something bigger than us, but when we open our eyes and come back to our senses, we go unconscious again and return to a series of unconscious programs, emotional reactions, and automatic attitudes. I developed this meditation because I want our community to be able to embody the energy of their future and do it with their eyes open as well as closed. In time, as you practice this, you might naturally begin to think like a wealthy person, act like an unlimited being, and feel an expansive joy for existence because you installed the circuits and conditioned your body to become that person. Chapter 10 shares another set of case studies to engage your level of understanding with allegory. These fascinating stories will help you connect the dots so you can hear the information from another angle and read about people who have experienced it firsthand. I hope they will inspire you to do your practice with more conviction, certainty, and trust, so that you can experience the truth for yourself. Chapter 11 opens your mind to what's possible in the interdimensional world beyond the senses. In quiet moments, I often find my mind drifting to the mystical, one of my favorite topics. I love those transcendental experiences that are so lucid and real that I can never go back to business as usual because I know too much. During those inner events, the level of awareness and energy is so profound that when I come back to my senses and my personality, I often naturally think to myself, I got this all wrong. The this I'm referring to is the way reality really is, not how I've been conditioned to perceive it to be. In this chapter, I take you on a journey from this realm of space-time, where space is eternal, and we experience time as we move through space, to the realm of time-space, where time is eternal, and we experience space, or spaces, or various dimensions, as we move through time. It is going to challenge your very understanding of the nature of reality. All I can say is that if you hang in there, you will get it. It might take you a few readings to fully understand it, but as you study the material and contemplate it, your contemplation builds the circuits in your brain in preparation for the experience. Once you are beyond your associations to this material world and you are in the unified field, chock full of infinite possibilities, biological systems exist for taking that energy that's beyond the vibration of matter and turning it into imagery in the brain. That's where the pineal gland comes in, the subject of Chapter 12. Think of your pineal gland, a tiny gland perched in the central back area of your brain, as an antenna that can transduce frequencies and information and turn them into vivid imagery. When you activate your pineal gland, you're going to have a full-on sensory experience without your senses. That eternal event will be more real to you in your mind while your eyes were closed than any past external experience you've ever had. In other words, in order to lose yourself fully in the inward experience, it has to be so real that you are there. When this happens, this little gland transmutes melatonin into some very powerful metabolites that cause you to have that type of experience. We will study the properties of this gland, and then you will learn how to activate it. Chapter 13 introduces you to one of our most recent endeavors, Project Coherence. When we witnessed the measurements of so many of our students going into heart coherence at the exact same time on the exact same day during the exact same meditation, we knew that they were affecting each other non-locally, energetically as opposed to physically. The energy they were emitting in the form of elevated emotions carried their intention that the greatest good happen to everyone gathered in the room. Imagine a large body of people all elevating their energy and then placing the intention on that energy that lives be enriched, bodies be healed, dreams come true, futures be realized, and the mystical become common in our lives. When we saw how our students were able to open the hearts of others, we knew it was time to start doing global meditations to help change the world. Thousands and thousands of people from all over the world have joined in and participated in changing and healing this planet and the people on it. After all, are we doing this work to make the world a better place? I'll give you the science of how this all works, and I do mean science. Enough peer-reviewed studies on the power of peace-gathering projects have been published to prove it works, So instead of just studying history, why not make history? The book finishes with chapter 14, which shares some pretty wild case studies of some of the mind-blowing mystical experiences people have had doing this work. Once again, I share them so you can see that even the most mystical adventures can be yours if you work at it,